Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm Damali Peterman here with Breakthrough ADR, and it is a pleasure to be sitting with Rajdeep. Rajdeep, tell us your full name and where you're from.
Hi, Damali. This is Rajdeep Lahiri. Well, born and brought up in Calcutta, in West Bengal, eastern side of India. However, I smelled money in the commercial capital of India, Mumbai. So that's why I started my professional career in the year of 2012. And ever since, my practice has driven me to a lot of places. So I'm doing, for now, Tri-City practice in New Delhi, capital of India, Calcutta, because I have to come back to my hometown, and Mumbai.
Excellent. And what is your practice?
So, we are not choosers. That's for one. So wherever, whatever type of clients have come to me with their grievances, I've always tried to address them. Mm. Say, if you really ask me, apart from hardcore taxation, which is really accounting and really boring, and though the money is good, apart from that, I've done everything, more or less. So maritime, intellectual property, then a lot of civil suits, criminal matters. I've done very good criminal matters. So these are the type of cases which I've had the privilege of working on.
And we're talking about legal cases, right?
Right, legal cases. Yeah, of course. Let's not forget about that.
Very important.
Right.
And you told me that you come from, you have a long lineage of attorneys in your family.
Right.
You said you were the fifth generation.
Yeah, I'm almost a fifth generation lawyer. So there's a lot of legal luminaries in my in my family, a lot of politicians, a lot of judges. I'm associated with a lot of them. A lot of senior counsels, and but then I left all of that and come to Bombay. So really, it's people may say that I have that lineage, but I would say self-made, because I prefer it that way. I've never taken any help of that sort. Some help, maybe some guidance here and there, but really not that much. I like to make it on my own.
So it sounds like you've worked your way to have this amazing Tri-City practice.
Yes.
It's very diverse.
Very
so
diverse.
From civil to criminal matters?
Yes, absolutely. So I always like change, you know, like I don't want that monotonous life. Because when I went inside law school, so one of the reasons why I went inside law is I actually cracked engineering at some point with not a very good rank though. And, I'm exposed that way. And so I went inside law primarily because I wanted time to play rugby. I've been
You're
playing rugby.
You're an avid rugby player.
Yes. So when I cracked engineering, my parents told me that, son, you've cracked engineering, but you do know, right? If you do engineering, you're not going to have a life. But if you become a lawyer, you can find out time, you can do what you like, you can play rugby and all. So that's how the accidental lawyer. So that enticed me to come inside law.
An accidental, excellent lawyer, I presume.
that depends. Not many of the lawyers who I beat, they say that I'm an excellent lawyer. But I do my best. I give justice to my profession, I give justice to my client, and I give justice to the court.
Excellent. I couldn't have said that better. And so what we do on Breakthrough ADR is we typically find ways to empower our listeners to sort out conflicts that they may be contemplating. And when I'm not doing Breakthrough ADR on the go, meaning traveling with my equipment, we usually have people call in, they ask us questions, and then along with you, we talk about ways that we would have handled their situation if we were in their shoes. In lieu of that, today I'm doing a little bit differently because I'm here in Goa, India, and we're here convening for a competition. So typically I like to start the show by telling people how I met my co-host. And we are here in India and Goa for the Lex Infinitum International Mediation Competition. And we're here as expert assessors.
Right.
I'm also leading a training on, I guess, what day is it on? Today's the 8th, so on the 10th, on workplace mediation, which is one of my specialties. And so we were sitting here chatting, and I said, wow, you're so fascinating. I would love to share you with the world. And so here we are.
Thank you.
Here we are. And so one of the things that I want to talk about, because it's so different, the practice of law and when I say different, of course, there are a lot of similarities in the sense of what we do as advocates for our client. But there are also some distinct differences between the practice of law and also conflict resolution. Alternative dispute resolution, you were saying in India and also throughout the world, there's some differences. And so I wanted to talk about something that comes up quite frequently when people are contemplating ADR, which is sometimes ADR isn't the right option for some situations.
Right.
Would you agree, Rajdeep?
I wouldn't agree more, but the principal difference is the mindset.
Okay.
Personally, if you ask me, the root of all evils in the world is economics.
Okay.
Is money. Everything is money oriented. It's not religion, it's not creed, it's not anything else, it's money. So even in the profession of advocacy, which was, you know, degraded for a significant extent over the last few years, it was considered to be the fifth most sought after profession. So it is said that if you get into nowhere, please get into law school, because everybody knows nobody fails in law school, right? And but we've seen over the years that the profession has picked up. There are a lot of companies that has come in, and the primary reason is that the money has been significantly high. Mm-hmm. A lot of lawyers, young generation, new generation lawyers, are getting significantly higher pay scale. Of course, I'm jealous of them.
Are they negotiating better deals?
Negotiating better deals. But I feel that negotiation, it's just my take, because I'm a hardcore litigator. I only appear as a counsel in the courts. I feel negotiation is only in black and white. It's only present in closed premises where there are public, no nothing. And it is finally the job of the court to enforce or give sanction to their negotiations, or to aid in that negotiation, the final touch-up. They have to come to councils, they have to come to the courts, they have to come to the litigators, because it's a very rare, it's just like, you know, alignment of the earth, moon and the sun. The sun being the judge, the moon being us, the earth being the litigants. And this perfect alignment you get very rarely. And once you get, well, you're in for a good time then.
So most people are more prone to be litigious. And there has to be an alignment of the people in conflict, their advocates, and the decision maker before ADR or alternatives to litigation will be more widespread. And you said that's a mindset issue. So how do we change the mindset of the masses?
Well, we have to understand how did that mindset come into being. Mm-hmm. We were not born with negotiation skills. There has been no negotiation skills given to us during our law school. Mm. We've been mediating with our parents to give us something what we want, but really it's the crying that helped us to get what we need. And the crying which I mean now is that the crying before the court. We need something, I've asked you politely, you've not given it to me, so I have to go to the court. Then let the court take a decision, let the court take the legal recourse. So the mindset really comes from that, right? And man, by virtue, is a very chaotic animal. That's what people say. That's why we have so many laws, so many rules, regulations to keep you in check. Mm-hmm. Right. So mediation, of course, in some of the issues where you feel that you've got a lot to lose, you want to mediate your way out, where both the party feels, okay, you have a loophole in your case, and then you want to mediate your way out. Or if you know that there's a counsel like Rajdeep on the other side, he's going to bust your loophole wide open. You want to mediate your way out. But really, I feel, as I told you before, India has a mindset that everybody wants to come to court for blood. Mm. And once enough blood has been spilt, you mediate. And by that time, you've already elapsed about 10 years of your life. But there's no hard feelings. You like it. You wanted that. And the advocate gave you that. Judge is there to give you that. So why mediation? Go to court. That's what the tendency is.
So it sounds like people still prefer litigation as the primary way to resolve a conflict, and that similar to mediation in the sense, once some of the heat has been let out, then they're open to mediation.
Right. So that's what happens. So So people take a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, court is always 50-50, no matter what your lawyer tells you. Mm-hmm. Even if you have an absolutely perfect case, you can always lose that case.
Right.
And so court is the most preferable way, and it is then the courts that that act as the mediators, or they facilitate the mediation. They tell you, please go before an arbitration or go for a mediation, try to resolve. But we all know what's going to happen in the mediation. It is just a procedure that we are going through.
Right.
And in India, mediation is a very costly process. Mm-hmm. And we are still a developing nation for now. And till the time we go into a developed nation, which I feel, I don't know when, maybe then we'll see the light at the end of the tunnel, whether it's really the light or an oncoming train.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that I see India as being a place with so much, with so many opportunities. And I say that because, developing or not, there are 1.3 billion Indians. The world's population has, what, over 7 billion, which means that one in every seven people is Indian. And so to me, trying to change mindsets, especially here, with the number of people that you have, is incredible. It's an incredible opportunity to actually really impact the awareness of mediation and finding other ways to use it. So maybe we were talking about this earlier. I don't think mediation is right for every single type of case, but some of the cases that you were telling me about, and I don't propose to be an expert in admiralty law, but definitely for some of the familial cases, perhaps for some of the nonviolent criminal charges. Perhaps there are some ways where people can find restorative justice. I think there are a few different ways to find ways to infuse mediation. There's a phrase in Spanish is poco a poco, little by little.
Right.
So that, you know, finding the right way to fit it in so that more people are aware of it as an option and say, you know what, maybe before we go for blood in court, let's try to talk this out with the help of a mediator. Because clearly, as you said before, maybe some people are learning about mediation or negotiating from home. You're negotiating with a sibling, with a parent, right, with a friend. And just because you do it all the time doesn't mean you're good at it. And so we were talking earlier about education starting, you know, when people are young, perhaps in school, learning how to negotiate, learning different active listening and communication skills. So by the time they're ready to, by the time they have a conflict, they'll have some of those skills built up to utilize during those situations.
Right, I feel the same, and I resonate the same intentions. But I have a slightly different take on this. I have a slightly different take on everything.
That makes it more interesting.
So I feel a conflict can only be resolved if you have the basic humanitarian decency. If you have the knack of resolving, and that cannot be taught. Maybe that can be taught, maybe in the schools. You need to be good human beings first. You need to understand where you can. So negotiating, I always feel that there has to be a sacrifice on both the parts.
Mm-hmm.
You
compromise.
Have to have that ability to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that ability to sacrifice, then negotiating with the best negotiator, it's just making that negotiator rich and nothing else. Because I've seen, all I'm saying is from my practical experience, I've represented very big individuals, corporations. Mm-hmm. Even though they've told me to come for negotiations, I've been there, but negotiations are really like a very second tier thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the Indian litigant mind, they are not in the habit. And I've seen one of my first cases, I was representing a very powerful, strong, female who was having a very bloodshed in our litigation history. And we had appointed a former big legal luminary as a negotiator, but then it charged a bomb. But really, it was just a farce. And then finally, when I realized that what's happening over here, and I explained this thing, the litigant knew she wanted time, but that was elusive.
Mm.
That was not given to me. And I felt, you know, like what's happening to a profession. I mean, we are defined by a statute. We are above the normal public. It's our It's a responsibility. We are known as officers of the court. So mm-hmm. one of the judgments passed in Chennai bench has actually put us at the same level as that of a judge inside the court hall. And if this is how it is done, then it's, you know, you see, these are the practical challenges of a very young counsel. And this is how we face, you know.
And I like hearing that because, you know, it's not always a slam dunk, as we were saying. Right. Like sometimes there's some really real practical challenges to doing it. We talked about alignment of, you know, the sort of the three stakeholders, if you will, in a conflict. And then sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you don't have an exceptional mediator or decision maker in your situation. Sometimes there's a challenging client. Sometimes lawyers would prefer to just be lawyers, right, and not mediators. I do think that there is a space for, of course, I don't think it's a niche, but there's a space for finding people who are, one, teaching young people from a young age to embrace alternatives to dispute resolution. Two, there's a space for people who've been practicing law for a while, and I love that you have a different opinion on many things because I think many people share your opinion. And so that makes it a more interesting conversation. And I'm sure people are sitting there like going, yeah, I think he's right. I agree with him. But I think that there's a space to have people meet in the middle. And maybe right. that's not for everyone. I do think that when a person is in conflict, in addition to the human decency aspect that you mentioned, I think that they sometimes just can't see the resolution because they're so ingrained in the situation. It's happening to them that even if they would be, you know, able to solve the problem for someone else because it's their problem, they just sort of abandon that executive function, their ability right. to make a decision, and they may just need help from someone who's not right. invested in the outcome, whether that's a lawyer or mediator or negotiator or arbitrator or judge. Right. And so the first step, I think, is realizing you need someone else to intervene, that you are not able to sort this out with the other person and you need help. To me, the second step shouldn't be just jumping to the lawyer. And I think that that happens a lot where people are like, we can't fix this, I'm taking you to court. And in my perfect world, I want there to be some other options between we have a problem we can't sort out and then we're going to court. Does that make sense? Because conflict is not going out of style, right? There's a saying that death, taxes, and conflicts are the only constants in this world. So it doesn't mean there'll be less work for lawyers. It just means that hopefully the work that comes up would be more interesting.
Right, right. I hope so. I would like to, say something over here is that people go to court, people look up to court. And as you said that if there's a conflict, if you don't give me what I want, I'll take you to court. The good side of that is that people still look up to the court mm-hmm. as a place for conflict resolution. That's number one. To go to the court, of course, you can go in person, but they look up to lawyers. Mm-hmm. Good lawyers today, the first step of you getting a case mm-hmm. is not because of your skill. Everybody's a good lawyer. You'll find a lawyer everywhere now. Mm-hmm. But it is more on the trust that there's no collusion, there's no effect of collusion or connivance with the other side. You are fighting your case to the best of your abilities. Mm-hmm. Then comes your skill, and then comes your your attachment with the client. So skill comes next. It's first whether you're a good human being. Your skills will come later on. Mm-hmm. So people still look up to the court, a judge. And of course, there are various types of judges. There's a judge who will listen to a part-heard matter. There's a judge who's good in appeals. Means a judge will let you speak. There's a judge who's an authoritative, who'll, you know, fight for you. Mm-hmm. Because according to me, your job as an advocate is to just put the judge with the facts. The judge will take care of the law. So in negotiation, for negotiation to be at par with conflict resolution given by the courts, you need to give some sort of power to the negotiator or the mediator. Mm-hmm. You have to put the mediator into the shoes of a judge. Because if there is a difference between, let's say, PwC or some other big conglomerate, let's say Hilton Hotels, or these big conglomerates, and you appoint a random mediator, they're not gonna, even if that mediator has been by force given to you by some authority, mm-hmm. they're gonna say, oh, it's a mediator.
It's not a judge.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. let's play around a little while. They don't know us. even I'm going to think as an advocate, a very devious advocate, I'm going to think, oh, he's that mediator. He's not bigger than me. Let's see what he does. Let me test him. But if he's a judge, or if he's given that position of a judge, mm-hmm. or at part of a judge with those kind of powers, legislative powers, then maybe yes. Mm. Yes. Then we are looking up to mediator. And then we are literally scared. I like dictatorship, you know, type, dictator type. But that dictator has to be a good for the people.
Right.
Like a king, kingdom. And this is his kingdom. And so if he's like that, but of course, with that comes absolute power, corrupts absolutely. So keeping that in mind, I think mediation can only grow if you have that give power given to that mediator, negotiator, and people will look up to it.
Oh, I love that idea. And I think all the mediators that we know would love that too.
Right.
And so how do we do that? Do you have any ideas how we can elevate the status of a mediator so that he or she is more akin to, you know, having the authority of a judge, even if it's not authority that works like a judge, meaning they don't have absolute power and authority, but they are seen as being very respected, well-respected decision. I wouldn't say decision makers, but people that you want to go before to help you resolve a conflict.
That's tough. I have one very impossible proposition.
Okay.
Is that, I don't know whether that will work, but make all orders passed by mediators an unappealable order.
Wow. Well, what if they get it wrong?
If that is the case, yeah.
What if they get it wrong?
Yeah, so no withdrawal, no nothing. Once you're in mediation, before that mediator, that order will be unappealable.
Wow.
Consented orders are anyways unappealable, but if an order is passed by a mediator, then it should be unappealable. Then you'll find people taking it seriously because you have to fight tooth and nail over that.
Yeah. Well, I like that too, because then what I hear when you say that is then there would be another process for mediators, right? And so basically in order to have that power to be able to issue unappealable orders, I feel like you have to go through additional training.
Yeah, you have to go there. And
right?
Yeah. You have to train yourself. You have to groom yourself. You have to you have to have that. Because I feel arguing in court and arguing before a mediator is heaven and hell difference. Mm-hmm. Right. In court, you are hounding. But before a mediator, you know, you take a systematic approach.
Yeah, the stakes feel higher in court,
yeah,
right?
Correct. And because in court, you know that if you lose over there, either you're going to get kicked out of the case, mm-hmm. or you're going to get another case in an appeal court.
Right.
But before a mediator, again, so I feel, as I said, nobody wins in court.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you win in court, you always have a chance of appeal. So in a court, if you win, you have a green tick. You lose, you have a red tick.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put a finality on a matter, you get something known as a blue tick. Mm-hmm. So that means the matter is ended for sure. So I always go for blue ticks. You know, we need resolutions.
We need resolutions.
And even if you win a matter, win it gracefully, think about the other side too.
Well, that's just great. I love this. This idea of putting mediators on par with judges, giving them more authority, and then finding ways to elevate certain mediators so that they can issue unappealable orders. That's genius.
That
idea.
But it's an impossibility. I do not know whether that'll... Unappealable orders in India can only be done for matters having pecuniary jurisdiction of less than 100 rupees.
Okay.
So it's an impossibility.
The stakes are low.
The stakes are very low. It's like $2.
Okay.
In small claims court. But so this is an impossibility. But the spirit of this saying is that the power must be given. The power must go back to them. Only then I feel that there will be some seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes it is completely a deception. People go into mediation with all diligence.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the back of their mind, they know you're going to come to court.
Right.
They're going to wait for you over there.
They have that in their back pocket, and so they're
right.
not really committed to resolving the conflict in mediation, which really doesn't help the process.
It does not
right.
help. It undermines the entire process.
It does.
It makes it into nothing but a funny joke.
Right, and it kind of wastes. Your time is being wasted if they're not taking it seriously.
Yeah, if we are not compensated that way,
mm-hmm.
then the time is wasted.
Well, Rajdeep, it's been an absolute pleasure
chatting with you today. Thank you so
much. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I think our listeners will really enjoy this.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's been great. I'm going to make sure that we have all of your contact information for people to keep in touch with you and to follow you on social media. And it's been wonderful. Let's give a look to the camera.
Thank you so much. I hope my experience have not caused prejudice to your minds. But be good litigators. It is said that in India, even if you lose or if you win, do it gracefully.
I love that. Whether you lose or win, do it gracefully. This is Damali Peterman from Breakthrough ADR. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.
Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.